On the first Monday of every month here on Katie and Kay, you usually hear this voice.
Good afternoon. You're listening to the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program Public Affairs Show on KDNK. My name is Steve Mills, and I am the co-leader and co-founder of...
But this week, to finish off the 2020 season for Dimensions and Diversity, we are turning the tables. My name is Hallie Zander, the producer of Dimensions in Diversity. But this week, I'll be your host, interviewing the fabulous Steve Mills, who has brought us many riveting interviews over the past year and a half with community members who provide resources for the LGBTQ plus youth in our valley. Let's start off with introduce yourself. Steve, who are you? What should we know about you?
So hello, my name is Steve Mills, and I have been a Roaring Fork Valley resident permanently for the last 4 years, but off and on for the last 6 years, and moved here when my partner of 18 years took a position in Aspen that was supposed to be temporary, that ended up being permanent. And luckily my employer allowed me to relocate here and continue to work for them. So that's where I've been. I am in banking. That is my real job, where I've been for about 26 years and enjoy it very much. And my company is very LGBTQ plus friendly and does a lot for our community. So I'm very proud to work for them.
In case you didn't know, Steve also qualifies to be interviewed on this podcast because he's a board member and founder of Gay for Good Rocky Mountains.
About 11 years ago, when I was living in Los Angeles, I found out about Gay for Good from some friends that I worked with. And they put together Gay for Good in Los Angeles after Proposition 8 came about, which was a proposition which was going to ban same-sex marriage permanently in California. And it was a group of friends that got together to try to go out and do something positive in the community so that the larger community could see that LGBTQ plus people, you know, we're taxpayers, we contribute to the community, we give back, we want to do good. And it was a way to build bridges amongst various communities that may not have exposure to the LGBTQ plus community. So I started working with them and doing some really fun projects, meeting some pretty amazing people, you know, whether it's church groups, whether it was environmental groups, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, grade schools. You know, we did so much work with those organizations. And it was just very uplifting because I got to interact with people that I probably wouldn't interact with in a normal day. I myself am not a very religious person, but I got to meet some amazing people in other church groups. There were Muslim groups, you know, Christian groups, Jewish groups we worked with. So I got to learn a lot about their background, their beliefs, and it made me become more empathetic to, you know, some of their struggles that they deal with. A lot of them were very similar to what the LGBTQ plus community struggles with, from acceptance to just people misunderstanding intentions. And by no means am I comparing, you know, someone who identifies as LGBTQ plus as religious, but there, you know, it is a minority group and, you know, there's a lot of commonalities with certain minority groups.
Well, Gay for Good is a national organization with branches in mostly big cities across the country. Steve still advocated for a branch here in the Rocky Mountains.
So when I moved to the Roaring Fork Valley, about 2 years in, that was probably around 2018, and another friend of mine, she and I were talking about, you know, how can we do something positive? Because we're tired of listening to all the negative news. You know, we're kind of tired of hearing people just complain about the state of affairs. What can we do that's positive that we're giving back? So we put a group of friends together here and we proposed to the national organization to start a chapter here in the Roaring Fork Valley. And there's 17 Gay for Good organizations across the United States. Most are in large metropolitan areas. We're the only one that's in a rural location. And that was, you know, the larger organization was a little hesitant to approve us as a chapter, because they didn't think that we were going to have enough work to do. They didn't think we were going to have enough nonprofits to partner with. And that's been anything but the truth. I mean, they've been completely blown away with the work we've done the last 2.5 years that we've been together here.
And the biggest challenge for Gay for Good, it seems, has just been getting the word out.
This is something you volunteer to do
for our community. How many hours does this take of your life?
It doesn't take a lot of hours. The main thing is finding a nonprofit that needs our help. That's the biggest challenge, because a lot of nonprofits don't know we exist. And we come to their cause with volunteers. So for example, let's say it is an environmental group that is doing trail maintenance. So we partner with them and say, hey, you know, how many volunteers do you need? Let's say they say 10. We put that out to our volunteers and say, who would like to sign up? And we bring 10 people to an event, which is, it's a win-win because they need volunteers. We want to give back. And then we partner shoulder to shoulder with people that may not be exposed to members of the LGBTQ plus community. So, and that's ultimately what the goal is to, again, to build bridges amongst different communities here in the Valley.
I feel really honored to have gotten the chance to talk to Steve this week. He's such a bright personality, and service has been a big part of his life for a long time. So now I want to transition a little bit into talking more about you and your story, your experience. You are a community volunteer in so many different ways. You produce Dimensions and Diversity for us at the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program. You're on the board of Gay for Good. It seems like volunteering and community service are big values for you. And I guess just to start off, where was that instilled in you?
That's a really good question. I'm probably going to give a lot of credit to, I know this might sound a little hokey, but I was a Boy Scout. I was a Cub Scout and a Boy Scout, you know, at an early age. I did a lot of camping and fishing and backpacking and being outside as a kid. So I think that's kind of where the foundation started, where, you know, as a Boy Scout or a Cub Scout, you know, we would go out and help elderly people. We would go out and build things. We would learn how to just function society in a different way. I know that sounds kind of a base, that's kind of a basic answer, but I think that was kind of the foundation. And then the company I work for, they're really big proponents of giving back. And they give us time to, they give us 16 hours a year to volunteer our time with any organization we want to do, which is great. Not a lot of big corporations do that. So I've taken advantage of that every year. I've done it with coworkers. I've done it outside of work. And I just have seen so many nonprofits add value to communities yet struggle with whether it's money, manpower, getting their message out. And I'm a problem solver. I like to go out and see how I can help. I'm a helper at heart. So I get a lot of satisfaction out of that. If I could be a full-time volunteer and get paid to do it, I would do it. No offense to my current employer, but I love it. I just love seeing a means to an end. And I get a lot of satisfaction out of seeing instant results, you know, that instant gratification. So if we're partnering with Habitat for Humanity and we are putting siding on the side of a house, you can walk away and say, I just did that. I built that for the new homeowners. And so I just get a lot of satisfaction out of doing that. And then tying in the LGBTQ plus part, that's just a bonus where people who may not interact with somebody or may not know somebody who identifies as LGBTQ, I get to tell them my story. It's not a super exciting story. Actually, it could be quite boring at times, but you know, I'm an average Joe, like, you know, a lot of people in this valley. And I want people to know that I think there's been a lot through the years, or actually through, you know, many decades, there's been a lot of stereotypes about the LGBTQ plus community that are not valid. And I like to break those stereotypes apart. So with people getting to know me, they're like, oh, you're not XYZ, you're ABC, whatever. And that's, I get a lot of value out of that. So that's the beauty of Gay for Good, is that I could give back to the community while also educating the community about the LGBTQ community here in our valley.
And while the work that Steve does is inspiring, I also wanted to know more about how he grew up and became the person he is today. Because while no LGBTQ person is the same, we all have good stories. Some sad, some dramatic, some inspiring, but usually all riveting.
Rewinding back to your childhood, I want to hear about, first of all, where did you grow up and what was it like to discover your identity as a gay man?
Great question. So I was born and raised in Los Angeles. Both my parents are very conservative, not necessarily religious, but just have very conservative ideals, and grew up always knowing I was very different. Not sure what that really meant, but always felt like an outcast, never really feeling like I fit in. Always had just a couple close friends, not a huge network of friends at an early age. I was very outdoorsy, very athletic. So I was always out doing things, but still never really feeling like I quite fit in and couldn't put my finger on what that was. And then, you know, as you get older, you start realizing, oh, you know, I have certain attractions that aren't quote unquote normal. And so that obviously could put you into a tailspin a bit because you're like, how do I resolve these feelings? So it was definitely a struggle for most of my life. I finally came out when I was in my early 20s when I met somebody who happened to live in Las Vegas. And I decided to pick up and leave LA, which was hard because growing up in LA, my high school was about 80 to 85% Latino. So my high school, I felt already like a minority, which isn't a bad thing. I learned a lot about the, you know, various Latin cultures, learned a lot about the struggles that they went through. You know, I was going through my own struggle with my sexual identity. So when I met this person and moved to Las Vegas, it was a great way for me to start to come to terms with who I was in this new relationship with this man. And then it also gave me an opportunity to come out to my family and friends from afar so that I didn't have to see, I'm going to call it a cop out. Some people don't, they think I'm being too hard on myself, but I felt like it was a safe way for me to come out to them from afar, let them deal with whatever emotions they were going to deal with, and then come back to me so we can have a conversation. So in hindsight, I definitely think it was best case scenario for me because I was able to do that. And 99% of the people I came out to, it was totally fine. Well, I shouldn't say totally fine. It went better than I expected it to go, I should say. I did have a couple family members that had a major issue with it, which wasn't shocking to me. You know, I knew the people who were going to have the biggest issue with it did have the biggest issue with it. But at the end of the day, I realized it's their issue. It's not my issue. They have to deal with their emotions however they need to deal with it. I am who I am. And if they want to still love me and be a part of my life, then they know where to find me.
And as Steve goes on to say, the vast majority of people he has come out to in his life have taken the news well, or at least better than he expected. But even so, dealing with that hostile 1%, especially when they happen to be in your immediate family, is never easy.
Can you tell me a little bit more? You said your parents were conservative, but not religious, not necessarily religious. Were they in that 99% of people who were surprisingly positive or surprised? They maybe not surprisingly positive, but they took it better than you thought they would.
My mom took it better than I thought she would. My dad took it exactly the way I thought he would, which was not, did not go well. And you know, I'm very open with people about my family dynamics because I just want to be very transparent that it's not an easy thing to come out to anybody. So my dad definitely had a hard time when I came out to him. He disowned me for probably about 2 years, wrote me a harsh 8-page letter front and back telling me how horrible of a person I was, how disappointed he was. And it was, you know, obviously it's hard to read something like that from a parent. But I knew I wasn't a horrible person. I knew I was a law-abiding citizen. I knew I paid my taxes. I knew I was a hard worker. I knew I was a loving individual. So it's hard to hear that because I know that's not who I am. And I know it's the other 98% of the people I came out to know that that's not who I am either. But I knew that that was his challenge that he was going through. And I think, you know, I'm a pretty empathetic person. I think he felt like he did something wrong and he was disappointed maybe in himself. And so maybe he was projecting some of that on me, but, you know, he was disappointed. But I know I'm a good person. And I know back then I was a good person. I know I'm a good person now. And so that was hard to hear. And we did try to reconcile a couple years later. But then, you know, my dad put a lot of parameters around that and said, you know, you could be gay, just don't show affection for your partner in front of me. And, you know, there's just some things you can't compromise on, especially when you're an adult. You know, when you're a teenager or an adolescent, you know, if you're living on your parents' roof, you know, there's rules you have to abide by. But, you know, at that point, I was living on my own, in a relationship, in a different city. And my dad wanted to put rules around that. And, you know, the only compromise I came up with is I said, you know, if we're in your house, I will respect that. But anywhere else, I'm not going to turn away from my partner and pretend like he doesn't exist or we're not together. And so we tried to make it work probably for about another 4 or 5 years. And it was just always super awkward. And ultimately, you know, today we do not have a relationship, my dad and I. And I'm totally okay with that because, again, I know it's not my issue. It's his issue. And, you know, hopefully someday he'll come around, but neither one of us are getting any younger. And I would love for him to try to figure out a better way to make this work, but I'm not going to compromise on who I am.
I envy Steve's incredibly strong sense of self, working hard to keep his family and his life, but also knowing when it's time to let go. A decision he didn't make lightly, but was informed by his priorities of living an honest life. But I knew it couldn't be as easy as he was letting on. So I needed to know more.
You said you're totally okay with, you know, the status of you and your dad's relationship now. But I imagine that has been fraught with a lot of conflict, or maybe it took a while to get there. Was there any sort of mental hurdle that you had to get through or to be present and be okay with where things are now between the two of you?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you can just, you know, walk away and say, I feel sorry for him or that's his issue. You know, I'm very transparent that I'm a big proponent of therapy. Probably in my late 20s, I did some therapy for a couple of years with a therapist. And it was a great way for me to, one, feel even more confident with who I am. Two, understand that I didn't choose, one, to be gay. And you know, also I didn't choose to disconnect from my father. He chose that. And so I had to wrap my brain around that. Because of course, you know, you blame yourself. You're like, okay, should I have done something different? Can I still possibly be straight? Which it doesn't work that way. Just like you can't expect someone who's straight to say, oh, can't you just be gay? It doesn't, I mean, it's as simple as that. And so the therapist really helped build my self-esteem. I worked on my self-esteem. And also I surrounded myself by even more people who understood me, loved me, built me up. And I just honestly couldn't be any happier with the friends I have in my life, the family I have in my life, the success I've had in my life. And so, yeah, I'm in a good place mentally, physically, emotionally, and I'm happy about that.
I want to just take a pause and say thank you from the bottom of my heart for sharing all of this with me and with the community, because these kinds of stories are so relatable. I mean, regardless of whether or not you're in the LGBTQ+ community, regardless of what it is, there are things that we can't change about our families, and we have to feel confident in ourselves.
And I think a lot of it is generational. And I really do believe in, you know, this new coined phrase of toxic masculinity, because society says you have to be this and you can't be anything anything else, but you have to be this. And there's so many different personalities in the world. I mean, billions of us, and we all can't be one way, nor should we, because we can all learn and grow from each other. And this idea of you have to be this type of man or you're not a man, I just think that that's ridiculous. And it's such an archaic way of thinking. And I'm glad to see that society has progressed a lot since, you know, some of these other generations where we're free to be. I just like to keep it as simple as that, free to be.
And Steve's life, despite the path of finding himself and struggling with his family, is nothing less than inspirational.
You said earlier how you were able to move on from that relationship was focusing on the supportive relationships. I've realized that for me, like in order to find those really supportive relationships has meant that constant coming out process, because you don't know who's going to be supportive of you.
You have to be prepared always. Yeah. To not go your way.
Yeah, for it to not go your way. But so often I've found it goes my way. And in the relationships that matter, there's a direct correlation. The more people you share with and talk to, the more people that are going to be there for you.
Well, I think the more authentic you are, the more genuine of a relationship you're going to have with another person, because you are who you are. You're laying it all out, and either they love all of it or they don't love any of it. And I want the people that love all of it. So. Mm-hmm.
And you talk about now your life as an out gay man being like as successful as you are, as supported as you are. Can you paint us a little picture of this life that you have now that you've worked so hard to create?
I live in probably the one of the most beautiful places in the world. We all do. Which is always shocking to me because I've always been a big city person. I've never lived in a rural area, but this is the best place I've ever lived in my life. But my partner and I have been together 18 years. We have two dogs. One's 4 years old and one's 2 years old. And we're huge, huge animal lovers. We have a beautiful house. We've traveled to every continent except Antarctica, which is on our list once hopefully COVID gets resolved. So we're very well traveled. We both have our health. Again, we have amazing families around us and friends. So that's the painting. It's not anything more or less than a lot of other people have, but I just feel very fortunate about what I have. And both of us have careers right now, and we're both working, which we know a lot of people in this country can't say that, which breaks my heart. So we're in a good place.
Can you share any advice that you have for kids here locally in the Roaring Fork Valley or nationally, whoever is listening in, about if they are questioning their sexuality, if they are starting to go through some of these really tough moments that define a relationship, what kinds of advice do you have for them?
You know, I know everyone has heard the phrase, it's been used time and time again, that it gets better. It does, but you have to find people to build you up, because there's gonna be way more people that will build you up than tear you down. So find those people, hold them close, build each other up, and whatever gifts you have in your life, try to extend that to others. Be there for other people that are struggling. And it may not even be struggling with your sexuality. Be there for people that just have a need. And try to listen more than talk, because you'll learn a lot from other people through them about yourself. I learn from people all the time, and I can relate to them. I could empathize with them. I can see similarities. I can see differences. But I try to listen more than I try to speak, which is, you wouldn't think from this interview, but I, but yeah, just be okay with being uncomfortable, because you're never ever going to be fully comfortable, and just be okay with that, because every time you're uncomfortable, you're going to learn and you're going to grow from it. And so you're going to, you're gonna run into obstacles. We all do, no matter what your sexual identity is. But don't let it beat you down, because there are so many people out there that want to love you and build you up and be there for you, and just be receptive to that. And ignore all the chatter on social media, because that's not reflective of the larger society. Social media can be very, very damaging to people's self-esteem. So just try to tune that out as much as you can.
And if you're looking to support some of the initiatives that Steve is working on,
just come join us at a Gay for Good Rocky Mountains event. We'd love to have you. It's open to all sexual orientations, all ages, all genders. We want as many people out giving back to our beautiful community as we can.
You've been listening to Dimensions in Diversity with the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program. I'm Hallie Zander. In-kind support for this program comes from Gay for Good Rocky Mountains. Find more of these stories on azyep.org.